Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, the ultimatum season two recap of episodes 5 through 6. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
For those of you listening on your favorite podcast platform, that was the air quotes around the season two.
Right. It should be season three, but whatever.
But whatever. And for those of you new to the show, here we are doing yet another reality TV show. How did we get here? Easy. Some point back in the day, Terrell made a deal with the devil. He would never watch another reality TV show until they had a Black Bachelor. Pandemic hits. ABC says, here's Matt James. So he's stuck watching it. Therefore, me being the good friend I am, I watch The Bachelor with him too. And in return, Terrell being the great friend that he is, then he watches one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight. He's hooked. We've done every season since then. We'll be doing the next one coming up. And he loves Netflix shows. So he loves the Netflix reality TV dating shows. And here we are doing The Ultimatum. Is that correct?
Only love the Netflix reality shows only because they're quicker and there's no commercials. I don't love reality shows at all, but these are faster. You can binge watch, knock them out.
But you did say you love the Netflix reality TV shows. I just heard you say that.
No, I said that I love how Netflix has no commercials and you can get through them quicker. Don't love the actual shows themselves.
Okay, Alex. Since you keep changing the story.
That's right. I don't know why you keep going down that route.
Just trying to make sure. Because Love is Blind is right around the corner. I just want to point that out.
I know.
Okay, just making sure. Well, here we are. Episode 5, right? And we've got this wonderful couple here. This trial marriage with new spouses. Who does Roxanne and Alex? And they're going to meet Roxanne's parents, who've been married for like 38 years, right? First thing I noticed, Roxanne's parents, big on engagement and commitment.
Right. I mean, because that's what they knew. They've been really good partners together, not just in their relationship, mm-hmm. but there seems like they're also entrepreneurs together. They run a business. So there's a lot of things that probably inspired Roxanne to mm-hmm. be the Roxanne that she is today. And I had no concern about Alex connecting with the parents because just like Roxanne's in sales and she can work a room, mm-hmm. Alex knows how to turn it on. And so I was like, okay, this is good. This is not going to be, I didn't expect it to be super exciting because I'm like, this is just going to totally be fine. But it was, they had a couple things in their conversation that stood out to me.
Yeah. You know, so, and I'm assuming it's when all of a sudden, because remember these two have been so nice this entire time. Roxanne is like hubby, my husband. And then she gets around her family and is like, hold up, wait a minute. Let me tell you some things I don't like about this mother. And one of the first things that comes up that she seems to have issues with is that Alex doesn't always open the door for her, even though she told him on day one, this is super important to me. Alex, what are you doing?
You know, that could be an important thing to her, but I'm like, okay, Antonio opens all the doors for you, but y'all broke, or he's broke. Yeah. You got money.
She's good.
Right. So, you know, whatever.
But, so you thought that was petty of her? I mean, because if it's important.
I don't think it's petty, but I don't think it's like the end all be all.
Do you open
that's something
doors?
He could work on? Is that something he can work on? Yeah. Should he open the doors and stuff like that? Sure.
But do you looking open at doors?
I do. But looking at what she has compared to Alex, I'm like the least of your issues with Alex should just be the opening door. Then we can work on that. At least, you know, financially, career, ambition, he matches all those things that were your biggest deal that you talked about coming into this whole show.
Well, okay, when you ask for these big things and what you're missing from your current, you also have to think about the things that you like about it. One of the things she liked about it is Antonio will open all the doors. It's something that's important to her. So I have no issue with her kind of bringing that up because, hey, I told you it's important to me. And what it shows is a lack of attention to detail from Alex.
Possibly so. I mean, again, I don't think Alex gives a shit. Because he doesn't like Roxanne. I think if he really liked Roxanne, he would probably do those things. He doesn't like her.
Yeah.
As we'll find more out, but he's not all that into her.
He's just not that into her.
He's just going through the process, going through the motions. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to be back with my girlfriend in a couple weeks. I don't need to open these doors for you. Whatever.
So you said a couple things that she did while, you know, they were sitting down with the parents kind of stood out to you. What else? Because that was the first thing that stood out to me was the opening doors thing.
So, you know, the opening doors bit, great. I was more listening to the dad. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things the dad was asking.
Yes.
And the dad talked about, you know, questioning, you know, Alex's engagement. Like, you know, when family comes over, we right. come over. Do mm-hmm. you talk to us? Are you yes. engaging? Are you just sitting there playing video games?
Right.
And to me, I'm like, these are all the things Antonio must be doing for the dad to bring it up. Because he's not going to bring up something from 4 years ago, a different right. guy. He's talking about Antonio. And so this was more insightful about the type of dude Antonio is.
It's interesting because, yes, I did notice he was like, well, you know, when family comes over, you're going to be sitting in the other room and just allow her. Oh, well, you know, hey, or whatever. And just all be engaged. You're right. That you know, I didn't put the two and two together that it was Antonio he was really talking about, but I just mm-hmm. assumed it was other, and I should have really, right? Because that's what it boils down to. What I did like too, though, was the dad wasn't buying just the fluff, and really, they were asking a lot of questions. He didn't just, hey, okay, cool, I'd like to hear this. No, they're asking the questions that I think parents should ask in that space, because they're not going, he has the things that she says that she's missing. But is he still the right person for her?
Right. Yeah. I thought they did ask some good questions. And they were asking, like, how do you feel about her being an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. Do you support her being independent? Mm-hmm. And all those things. And, of course, because Alex doesn't really care, he's like, yeah, sure. I have no problem with all that. Because he knows he's not going to stay with Roxanne. I mean, come on. He knew, uh-huh. meeting the parents, that this is a formality. Right. And they're just trying to get through it. But I like how Alex stood his ground as he said, oh, I don't think there's a lot of women that can challenge me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I like how he did that. And also to your point of him that's not like really engaged with Roxanne, when she's like, well, are you going to ask some questions about me? He's like, no, they pretty much answered all of them.
Yeah, I got what I need. Yeah. I'm all stocked up here. But, and see, and Roxanne, did you catch this when Roxanne said that I dated someone in the past who challenged me and mm-hmm. I didn't like it?
Yes.
And yes. I was like, this will be interesting because she is somebody
yeah.
who likes things the way that she likes them.
Yes.
And wants things to be that way that she wants them and mm-hmm. wants people to view the world the way she views the world.
She's not, you know, when you think, okay, well, she's an alpha. She wants another alpha. No, she wants a zeta.
Right.
She wants somebody who's gonna do whatever she wants, but oh yeah, and bring some money in too, because I need some of your money too to add to the bottom line.
Well, so she actually has money.
Yeah, she does.
And she's worked, so she has her tech job mm-hmm. because I was trying to understand, what is she doing when she's working 7 a.m. to midnight? Mm-hmm. Well, she has a side hustle mm-hmm. and the side hustle is called Pasty Nips. Which pasty nips are like covers that women put on their nipples if they don't want to wear a bra. Uh-huh. So their nipples don't show like under a right. dress. I had no idea mm-hmm. that was a thing. But that's what she does. That's her business. And if you go to her page, their company's website, I mean, you see her all over it. I'm like, of course.
Yes.
Of course you're all over it.
Of course she is. And now you know the side hustle and why she works, because you were questioning her hours. Now you know why. And you know what? It's a needed thing. So there you go.
But do you look at I was like $9.99 for some nipple covers. Mm-hmm. And then you could do a subscription and where every month you get a new set. I'm like, how do these go bad? Like, could they only last a certain amount of time? I mean, there's so many questions. As a guy, I have no idea.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Think about this for a minute. How many times do you lose a sock in the dryer? What do you think is going to happen to these nipple covers?
True, but I don't have a subscription where I get new socks every month. So, and how often are you wearing dresses and whatever that doesn't you wouldn't wear a bra for?
Have you
so
been
I'm
outside? Wearing,
I'm just curious. Have how you been often, outside?
There are women walking curious. Around with t-shirts and no bras, okay?
I'm just curious how often do you go through, ladies, educate me in the comments. How often would you go through nipple covers? I mean, I didn't know that pasty nips was a was a thing. Like, what we should think of a product for guys. What is it that we could...
They already have it. It's called a cup. Could have used it when you were coming. Hey, Terrell, I need you to come to the board and write the answer.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should come up with something for like teenagers that are going through puberty that maybe decrease some of that. You know, call it no bone. You got to get up and go to the class when you're 16. You got to go up to the front of the class. Just eat a gummy. Give me 2 seconds, teach. I'll be up there in a little bit.
I'll be right there. Oh, my goodness. Our next couple, Ryan and Trey, and they're meeting Ryan's brother and his girlfriend, Reed and Caroline. And Reed, let it go, bro. That mustache ain't coming in. It took me forever just for my whole goatee to connect, okay? It took the pandemic for this to actually fill in. It's okay. Let it go. That mustache looked like he was drinking chocolate milk. I was like, oh, shoot, we got to record.
Maybe he just likes it nice and trim like that.
Whatever.
Who knows?
Looked like he had ants running across his lip.
He rocks it. It's all that matters.
Oh, man. So what did you think of this interaction with Ryan's brother, his girlfriend, Ryan, and, you know, one of these kids is doing his own thing, Trey.
Trey. The standout.
One of these kids is not the same.
So, honestly, I thought they had a really good interaction. Mm-hmm. I think that, to me, it seemed like an involved conversation. It wasn't just the brother and his girlfriend only talking to Ryan. Their Trey seemed to be included in the conversation. So I thought that was just positive. But what really stood out to me was, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things I liked was they didn't sit down and start grilling Trey immediately.
Right.
The conversation started with who they know, with Ryan. They're talking to her, and then they... Because you made a great point, and it's only when you said that I realized this is kind of what happened. They talked to Ryan, and then they brought Trey into the conversation. The way it should be, instead of just sitting down, tell me your intentions with my sister.
Right, right. So which, like, we've all had that situation when you're dating somebody, you're meeting their family, and it's like, oh, so this is him. So what do you do? Do-do-do. Where'd you go to school? And you start getting hit with all this stuff. You're like, wow, why do you like her? Why do you like our daughter? Why do you like our sister? It's just... That's a bit much. So I
you
think
really
they did
don't want
it, right?
me to answer that question, sir.
So I think they did it right. Yeah. And to where I think Trey felt comfortable and included in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty nice, I think, on Trey's part for the family to be so surprised to see the change in Ryan. How she's pretty much open to say, yeah, I've been with him 7 years, but I'm willing to leave. If he's not willing to do this, she comes across a little bit more confident. To me, she has a little bit more of a glow of her around Trey than she does around James.
She was smiling a lot, and you're right. Reed does say Ryan sounds like a different person. That was big. You're right. That was a big thing because it's her brother who obviously she trusts and likes, and you know. Not like the brother she was fighting all the time. So this is good. And to hear him say that means he's noticing some things like, But did you notice Caroline said that Ryan has always made James the number one priority and he hasn't always done the same for her. And then she said, it's an insult. It's been 7 years. It's an insult. He hasn't proposed yet.
See, that's that Southern, you know. You both got, you go to college, get your MS degree. Yeah. I'm like sorry, MRS degree. MRS degree MRS. Is what I meant to say. Yeah.
Saying, MS, that's how she entered.
No, MRS degree. But yeah, I think that they think the world of Ryan and, you know, Trey even said, I'm fully invested in Ryan. I was just okay.
Yeah. It was really interesting the way they went through that, and I thought it was good. It went way better than I probably thought it would have, right? Not that I thought it would go bad, but At first, I was kind of wondering, like, are the parents going to show up? No, nope, brother and friend. And I like that. I think the vibe would have been very different if her parents showed up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Probably so. But I thought it was still great. I wouldn't call it a date, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah. Meeting. Get together. Meeting.
Encounter.
There you go. So next up, they had the guys' night and the ladies' night. And we'll cover the guys first just because, well, they showed them first. So we'll start there. Because usually it's ladies first, right? And let's kind of tackle it by the couples that are dating each other's significant others, right? Like Trey starting the conversation. First of all, he started the whole thing off, but he sat down and was like, all right, look, I figured out that this process is not about the ultimatum, but it's more so about self-reflection. What did you think of his revelation there?
I thought it was good because really that's the point. It's yes. Not so much this is all about you know, making this other person commit. It's making you realize, what do I need to do different to help this person want to commit?
Yes.
And then what do I need and do I have it from this person? Mm-hmm. And for the other people who were given the ultimatum, it gives them a chance to say, hey, is this really my person? Or, you know what? I really enjoyed spending 2 weeks with someone else more so.
3 weeks. Than I did. They actually get 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks with someone else more so than I did hanging with the other. So,
yeah,
I liked it. I think that Trey shared his thoughts about his relationship with Ryan to James, but in a respectful way.
He did. I will say this. You could tell that James was kind of, when Trey says, you know, he talked about meeting Ryan's brother. First of all, as soon as he said that, you saw James' reaction just a little bit. And then he's like, you know, how much she mentioned how much she's changed. And James is like, wait a minute. First of all, there's always a wall I could never get past. And I'm the one that she's the most comfortable around. I'm the one that she tells everything to. I'm the one that changes her, not anybody else. He gets really defensive.
He does, which any boyfriend would, you know, 7 years. You'd feel like, hey, how is it you seem to have a better connection in these 2 to 3 weeks than I've had in 7 years, you know, right. And for the family to say that about her after being around you for a short amount of time.
Yes.
And they've never said that when she's been with me since she was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it being a little awkward. And then, you know, feels. James. Yeah. Yeah. I could say getting your feels about it. And then, you know, James decided he would volley and say, talk about Raya.
I see your shade, and I bring a big umbrella.
Yeah. So he wanted to talk about Raya and, you know, how they're struggling. Now, here's what I don't like about what Netflix does. The editing job on that was terrible because you could tell that they cut up so much where in some of the other shows that we do, we know it's edited, but in some cases, the conversation flows to where you don't realize what they cut and took out.
Right.
This conversation is the first time I caught it on this one between James and Trey, where I'm just like, what are y'all talking about? Because, right. You know, James is like, yeah, well, I mean, Trey says, yeah, Raya called me and told me that James thinks I want to have sex. And I have a lot of questions. And like, it was just totally edit job.
Yeah, I see what they tried to do on the edit, right? Because if you remember correctly, right before that, James tried to get that rise out of Trey by saying the conversation him and Raya had about affection, right? Mm-hmm. And that what it means to him as far as sex and how much, well, she was so willing and she was willing to do it. She was willing to go all the way. Mm-hmm. And that's when Trey was like, ah, nice move. Let me show you mine. It's called FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And I like the way he kind of did that because it's like, okay, dude, you can't get a rise out of me. Because if you're not careful, I'm going to take your girl. You can't take mine.
Right. Now, did you pick up on this? Because remember when I talked about on the first recap of episode 1 and 2, where I was like, I wonder if James and Ryan slept together. Mm-hmm. Because they've been together 7 years, only had those 2 weeks together with family. Mm-hmm. But they don't seem like they've done a lot with each other. So James makes the comment that Raya wants to do, you know, she wants me to hold her hand and hug. And we talked about, you know, she talks about things like sleeping naked together and sex. These are things married people should do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. that's not what you and Ryan do.
Right.
So yeah. that's weird. But,
okay, so I took that, and this is the way, and we heard that with two different ears, because you heard it from the religious ears, and I heard it from the just like, well, this is what Raya is saying, that because as he's trying to get that rise, because the way he said it was interesting, and he's like trying to get the rise, like, well, she wants to do these things. Right. And so she's saying this is what as a married couple we should be doing. And since we're living in a trial marriage, this is what we should be doing. I thought that's the way he was trying to present it to Trey. And Trey just didn't bite. So,
yeah.
Hence why the FaceTime conversation of, yeah, well, that's great, dude. But she FaceTimed me and told me, hey, I think James thinks I want to sleep with him.
Yeah. And I like how Trey had to like it. Yeah, so she FaceTimed me. We talked about that.
Yeah, not even she texted me, not she called me. No. She FaceTimed me so I could see her facial expressions. And I want you to know, yeah, she wasn't feeling that. I thought it was interesting, though, too, in that space that James tells Trey that he doesn't think Raya, because they go across, they go and sit by themselves, right? Get away from the other guys. And he says, Raya is at a point, he doesn't think Raya is at a point to get married right now, and that he should probably pursue someone else. And he shouldn't settle. Great advice.
Right.
But I wouldn't have taken it from him in that moment, seriously. Not after what just happened prior to, right?
I would have. I'd have been like, hey, that's just great, great advice. I think sometimes, as we see with a lot of these couples, when you're neck deep in the relationship, you can't see
the forest for the trees.
Some stuff's right in front of you. And like, you know, I've been saying from the beginning, hey, Raya's not ready for what Trey is looking for.
Right.
And Trey's trying to force it. And so I think James is just telling him, hey, man, I don't think that she's ready for what you want. And I don't know if he broke down the intimacy conversation when they had the sex card game and just how awkward maybe that she might be when it comes to that type of stuff. But I thought it was fair that he said it. And hopefully Trey listens.
If James really wanted to get a rise out of him, he would have been like, you know, she wanted us to, you know, do something different, like leave the lights on and have sex with our eyes open.
Yeah, no, James isn't messy like some other people we're going to talk about later. He wouldn't do anything like that. But I liked how Trey called James out on his BS.
Right.
Of not opening up to Ryan. He's like, look, y'all been together 7 years. Why is she here?
Right.
Exactly. You know, just ask like, why is she here? You've been here, been together 7 years. And then all the things that James felt was the issue, Trey was like, look, dude, that's not the issue.
Right.
She loves you. I mean, if Trey wanted to try to put shade out to say that he was going after Ryan, he could have. He was just being honest with him, saying, hey, dude, she wants to be with you. She loves you.
Uh-huh.
The things you're thinking is a big deal, it's not a big deal to her at all.
Right. And she just, but here's the interesting thing about it. Because James revealed a lot of stuff, and I'm just assuming that they had the alcohol flowing, because he really was throwing some stuff out, like the fact that, you know, Ryan is not his first love. It's like, okay, so there's someone else there, and that's like Ryan is his comfort zone, and the other person's gone. And if that person comes back, so is he. If that's what it felt like. But then he also said, you know, that there's some things he hasn't told anybody, and they're bad. And the only thing I could think about is, where did he hide the body?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're building up a whole lot around that. And I'm curious to find out exactly what it is.
Exactly.
You know, but I don't understand how you've been with someone for 7 years and you can't tell them that.
Exactly.
I just don't get that. 7 years. And it'd be one thing, 7 dates, and I really don't want to tell you about my past. You know, but 7 years? Since 16?
I think they gave the answer to that when they gave this one little nugget and never went back to it. When he said that Ryan was not his first love, I was shocked that it never went back to it. And maybe they go back to it later, but I was waiting for them to explore that some more, and they didn't. That was a gem they dropped. After all the editing they did, it's got to come back sometime later, right?
Possibly. You know, we shall see. But I'm curious to know what, like, I'm like, this better be big.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you've been dealing with,
right?
It better be big. It can't be something like, you know, just, I like to eat Doritos at midnight, and I'm so ashamed. You know, like, I need to, better be something big.
That would be bad. Alex, and Antonio, of course, they're really having these conversations. Alex says Roxanne can be tiring and explains that this is why they're talking with all the guys first. Explain how he's helping Roxanne temper her emotions when it comes to work. And Antonio's like, wait a minute, you're reading her work emails?
Yeah, like, because Antonio doesn't know what that's like to have a job. Right. Because you ever work side by side, but hey, I'm about to say this. What do you think?
Right.
You know, and at least with somebody that gets what you do.
Yes.
And so they could be like, hey, you probably don't want to word it like that. And here's why. It's not like he's standing over his shoulder reading your emails. I'm like, God, Antonio, you're an idiot. Yeah. And he was just acting just very weird towards Alex because he's so threatened by Alex. You know, that's what it boils down to. I think he's just threatened by Alex. But he just kept just poking. Well, it seems like you're holding back.
Yes.
And, duh, 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 duh. And I'm just
don't be afraid to tell me. From? Don't be afraid to criticize me.
And yeah, it's like, you know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because Roxanne has told you. So if you know what's wrong, and he keeps saying that, she's told me what the issues, then why do you need someone else to tell you if you already know?
Yeah. It's the interesting thing is he tries to then, of course, pull a James and one up and like, well, you know, I've laid out everything to Kat and she's not returning. That, you know, it's weird the way he tried to go at Alex. Like, it's this competition, right? And even to the point that Alex saying is where Antonio and Kat aren't sleeping in the same bed. Like, dude, why aren't you sleeping? What do you mean you're sleeping in a separate bed? No, you should sleep in the same bed. You should do this. Which, of course, just sent Antonio in another tizzy mentally. You could see his head just racing because, wait a minute, you're sleeping in a bed with my Roxanne? You could see him just thinking this stuff.
Yeah. Then, Alex is just too cool, calm, and collected to let that bother him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Antonio has shared stuff with Kat. Probably shared too much with Kat. So yeah, Kat's probably like, okay, you're a little crazy. I could pick up on it. I'm not going to share too much with you. But the fact that he wants to sleep separately, and I respect for Alex saying, hey, you should. That's what this is a trial marriage. You should be doing these things. Mm-hmm. You know, could be, you know, affection and all that type of stuff. He didn't say sleep with her, but he was open to her being part of this process too. And that's when Antonio says that, you know, doesn't think intimacy plays that much of a role. I'm just like, okay. Earlier, before when they did the switch after the choice, him and Kat were talking about that. And it was like, number one is finance. What's the number two reason people divorce?
Yeah.
Romance. So, you know, that's intimacy and all that. That's part of the number two reason of people divorcing.
He's in a battle with Alex right now. So anything he can do, he's going to try to do just to kind of one up. Because then even when he asked what his parents thought of Roxanne, it was interesting when he's asking that, right? Like, what'd your parents think of Roxanne, right? And then even had the nerve to ask, like, hey, are you here to leave with Roxanne? Is that what it is? He could not get off that at all. Not what is Roxanne learning? What is she, you know, any of that. It's just, what are your intentions with my girlfriend?
Mm-hmm. So this is Antonio's problem. He is not a good listener. Mm-hmm. So when Alex had said that, yeah, she's good in small doses. Mm-hmm. She's good at, she's can be tiring. None of those things are traits that a guy really wants to steal your girl.
Right.
So Alex is telling you he doesn't want Roxanne, but Antonio is just so whipped and just in love and whatever else that he's not listening either. He's just focused on, the rage. But to me, it's obvious that he's not interested in Roxanne.
Very true. The thing, though, is that Antonio keeps calling him on dodging questions, says you're not answering any real questions. And Alex then tells him, look, Roxanne doesn't respect you, man. You know, and now he wants specifics. And he says he's used to guys like Alex trying to take Roxanne from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to happen.
Dumb. Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. And kudos for Alex for just being honest with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think she respects you. She said this about you. She said that about you.
Yeah.
And then Antonio's getting all mad. I'm like, but I thought you already know the criticisms that Roxanne's going to say about you. And if my girl was saying all this negative stuff about me to someone else, I would want to know too. Because to me, that doesn't show me that you respect me.
Right. Exactly. Well, as we speak of these ladies, mosey on over to ladies' night. Ryan revealing that she's never lived with anybody before and that Trey is cleaning to her and even offers to clean the bathroom, which apparently is not something he does with Raya.
Yeah, I mean, you could just tell Raya was just fuming on the inside. Everything that Ryan said and why she enjoys being with Trey and all that, I mean, Raya was just not... She's trying to be nice.
Yes.
She's trying to play that keep your enemies close kind of game, but she was not appreciating it one bit.
Now, you notice when they kind of got a chance to sit down by themselves, Ryan asked Raya, hey, so do you think you can see yourself with James? She's like, no. And the interesting thing is because she's like, well, he doesn't really talk to me, right? So, and then in return, Ryan goes, okay, well, Trey will make a great husband. Which, again, just sends Raya's head spinning. Yeah, and I think she did everything she could to stop it from spinning around.
But
and smoke again, coming out of ears.
That was a bad editing job because Raya asked Ryan, so you think you could see yourself leaving with Trey? And she's just, you can tell there's an edit. And she's like, Trey would make a good husband.
Yes.
Da-da-da. And that's what concerns me. But it's all taken out of context.
Yeah.
So it's a such a bad editing job. But you could tell that Raya was just annoyed. And, you know, she's like, you know, I know James is invested in this experience. And she's trying to feel out, like, do I have something to be worried about with this girl?
And that space. Now, when Kat and is talking about Antonio's UFO obsession. Now, this is when all the women are around, right? And Roxanne just literally dumps on him. I mean, like, oh, it's stupid. It's this. It's that. Like, yo, only thing I can think is she does not like this man at all. Am I right? Right.
No, you're right. I mean, everything that she's, the way she comes across, and I hope that Antonio watches this back.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, that's what she was saying about me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she just totally talks so much smack about you. Yeah. And yeah, the stuff that, I mean, Kat, I think, was trying to be nice, just trying to say nice things in general for Antonio. So I think she was just trying to be nice. But all the way that Roxanne was acting, she's just a mess.
She really is. And you know, because first she dumps on her own man just to, I don't, whether it was a tactic of hers to make him seem unattractive to Kat just in case, because she was liking his UFO obsession. But then she started clearly marking her territory, right? When it came to Alex, like just talking about all the stuff and how they just get along and all this good stuff. And you could see right then and there, like she's trying to be the antagonist of the season, right? That's what she's about to be. Well, then she asked Kat if she's nervous about, she asked Kat if Kat is nervous about her, Roxanne's, relationship with Alex. And she kind of was.
Well, I think it's the way that Roxanne was talking about Alex, too. Because Roxanne painted a different picture than what was really going on. Mm-hmm. Roxanne's made it sound like, I could sleep with Alex if I just snapped my fingers.
She sure did.
It's about to go down. Like the way that the chemistry and all this. And we talk about business together. We talk about, like, I wonder, is he giving her pasty nip advice about, you know, ways to market pasty nips? Because he had a marketing company before. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some things that she learned from that. But the way she was talking about how the chemistry and just the, oh, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. You know, all those things made Kat nervous. And I think Kat's non-confrontational.
Yes.
And so she's just kind of playing it cool and trying to play it cool. But you can see it on her face that, yeah, she struggled with that.
But then all of a sudden, Roxanne flips the script, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, Alex is not a gentleman and he's a liar. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? First of all, you just talk about how you can sleep with him if you want. Now he's not a gentleman. He's a liar. He lied to your parents. Where did this come from?
Yeah, because he didn't open doors a few times, but you told your dad that he does. Mm-hmm. Now he's this big liar. He has no emotion. And there's some truth to some of the things that she said. Right. I mean, he's not an emotional person. He's
best very lies logical. Are told with a sprinkling of truth.
Right. You know, he's very logical. And she's just like, you know, well, it's great that he hasn't been through anything bad to experience, but, you know, she's just trying to sell Kat on these are red flags, girl. You know, make it sound like they're tight. Like, yeah. After you just talked to me, talked about my man in front of me, mm-hmm. Now we're besties?
Yeah.
No.
You know, as they wrapped up episode 5 and we got to episode 6, I felt bad for Kat, man, because Kat went from having to deal with Roxanne to then having to deal with Roxanne's man. And Antonio comes in and he's telling Kat he's angry because he feels Alex lied to him all night. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yo, like, what the heck? Poor Kat. Because, you know, again, she's non-confrontational and she's getting it from all sides.
Yeah. And so he goes on his little, you know, tirade about Alex as being a liar. Mm-hmm. And then Kat's like, well, so Alex's mom called me after she met Roxanne. And mm-hmm. she said Roxanne was saying this about you.
Well, I think she texted her because she said it wasn't, because when he tried to ask for more specifics, she's like, well, it was just a couple texts.
Yeah, but he was just like, then he changed it to that Alex and his mom are conspiring
yes.
to get him out the picture. And she's like, why would she make this up? Like, right. why would she say all this? And she's mm-hmm. like, I think you should know. So now he's just storming mad. I need to talk to Roxanne. Yeah. You know, and then what did he call Alex on the phone? He was with Roxanne, like the shit bag.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kat, like, in a very nice, sweet mom, but he's not a shit bag.
Yeah.
That's not.
But at least she stood up in her own way. She stood up.
Yeah.
What was she supposed she to do? Got there and she's in this room alone, in this apartment alone with this guy. Well, not alone, because the camera crew is there, but still.
Right.
she's in there with this guy. They're supposed to still be in there sleeping together. Yeah, she's like, I'm just not going to be the confrontation zone. This is not my nature, but I'm going to stand up for my man. He is not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Calm it down.
I know.
Antonio broke Darius.
I know. So then Roxanne is like, Antonio, you better get over here right now. Click. And homeboy went sprinting.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And, you know, here's the thing about it. We might as well cover, I know we're going to get to Alex and Roxanne next, but we might as well cover Roxanne and Antonio. Because when he goes over there, they have a conversation. And it's just really weird, right? And I know they cut it down, they trimmed it down. It probably was a lot longer than what they showed, but it was just really weird and a bunch of nothing. It's just them just, you know, I need to get this off my chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Roxanne just kind of pumping him up to be like, yeah, no, yeah, 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 yeah. Go kick his ass.
Right. This is where you can see they're both toxic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just watching that, to me, they're both toxic because... Mm-hmm. She's just trying to make it seem like, oh, yeah, I would never. And Alex said, what? You know, I was just like, come on, please. And he's just so emotional about the whole thing. That's what just doesn't get me.
The Brian and Lisa effect here, because he's like, because remember, he's the one that brought her there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, let's just leave. I want to leave. We don't have to do this. We've got each other. Let's go. And she's like, well, you know. We did kind of commit to this. Let's stick it out a little bit longer.
Yeah. No. Antonio is weak sauce, man. That dude is just weak. I just don't have any respect for that guy. Just like Roxanne. So.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing I don't like either, too. I don't like the fact that they can call their significant others or exes, as they like to call them. They're still a significant other. Let's be honest, right? I don't like the fact that they can still call them and talk to them while they're with the other person for 3 weeks. There really shouldn't be that communication in that space, right? If they're trying to do this and live this way, then so be it. But, and I hated the fact that was an easy phone call to make and then run up the street and go see her. But at the end of that, he punked out, never went back to the apartment that night.
Right.
He left her, but never went back to Kat. And then when Kat left the next day, he goes in, moves all the stuff out.
Yep.
What kind of punk move is that?
Just weak.
Yeah.
That's just who he is. It's just weak. And I more power to Roxanne, if that's the kind of guy that she wants, more power to you. Don't complain about him then. If that's the kind of guy you want, don't complain about him, talk trash about him. But Antonio really needs to man up. I mean, the dude is just can't take care of himself. not financially stable, can't provide the things that she's looking for, mm-hmm. what good are you?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Kat, to her credit, when he came back in, she didn't just, oh, okay, whatever, and let it go. She, hey, let's have this conversation, right? And asked him, hey, what's going on? Why'd you do this? Even though he's like, hey, look, I got everything I wanted out of this trial marriage. Everything I can get out of this, I got out of it. And she wouldn't just let it go, right? I like the fact that she made him have this conversation. And then, of course, he has to turn on the attack and say, well, you don't even know who you are.
Right.
Like, damn.
Yeah, and that's just him being toxic. Because, mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to call me out on something, I got to shut you down a little bit. I just think he's really immature and just doesn't realize that he's a problem. And Kat has been very nice to him. She's tried to encourage him in a lot of ways, to me, more so than what Roxanne has done from what we've seen. But he's just a mess. But to say that Kat doesn't know who she is, that's just his way of, I'm toxic and I'm a problem. I need to bring someone else down to my level.
And that's exactly what Kat said when she goes, look, you and Roxanne, you're bringing your problems and projecting them onto me and Alex, which is our transition to, of course, the next couple there. Where did I put? There they go. Alex and Roxanne. Roxanne mm-hmm. and Alex. Roxanne trying her best, because when we first see them, it's before. It looks like, and it would seem like it's before the phone call, right? But she's trying her best to showcase her selective memory concerning what she said and did not say when it comes down to everything. She's just like, oh, okay. And trying to be kind of nice in that space, right? But mm-hmm. then it turns. It's interesting to watch her turn from trying to be nice, and then all of a sudden, it just blows up. And I think this is where alcohol plays a factor, because all of a sudden now she's telling Alex he's fake, and then she brings out the fact that he doesn't do the simple things, and blah, 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 and then it explodes from there. And that's mm-hmm. her favorite part of the show.
Yeah, it was, because she tried to go at Alex, and her whole body language and everything, and I'm sure Alex picked up on it, mm-hmm. because she's just, oh, so it was fine? How was it?
Yes.
What y'all talk about?
Right.
Oh, she said good things about me? What did you say? Like, I would know. I'd see that a mile away. I'm like, okay, this is a setup.
Yes.
So whatever you're mad about, just talk about it and get it out.
Just get it out. Exactly.
Yeah. And so she's starting to go off, calling them all these things. And you know what I noticed? Roxanne wears like 4 rings per hand. Mm-hmm. And my rule of thumb is I don't date people that wear a whole lot of rings mm-hmm. on their hand, because I just feel like people who wear a lot of rings are drama. I've never met a nice, sweet person that had a whole lot of rings on her hand. Just my thing. And keep in mind, I'm not talking like the grunge look. Yeah. I'm talking about the ones that are as at the level that Roxanne tries to keep herself, and you know, the lip filler and all that, and all those rings. She's just high maintenance and drama. So
better to punch you with, because you know you got some weapons.
Whatever, and thumb rings. I'm just like, what you got thumb rings on for? But anyway, that's just my observation, just my thing. But I love how Alex stood his ground. Mm-hmm. He didn't waver in any way.
Yes.
And he was saying, like, yeah, I don't think you respect him. And pretty much what he told Antonio, he told mm-hmm. Roxanne to her face. He's told both of them to their face what he thinks about their relationship.
When did I say that? No. This is my interpretation of what it is, which he didn't tell. He didn't say to Antonio, she said she doesn't respect you. He just said, dude, she doesn't respect you.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so she kept trying to go down that path of I didn't say that, and da-da-da. And he's like, okay, that was my interpretation. And then she starts to, well, you know what? You don't respect Kat, and tries to flip it, which is the same immature BS that Antonio did.
Yeah.
So she tries to flip it on him, and then pointing out what she does around the house and da-da-da. And I love how Alex was like, yeah, good job. Yeah.
You
cleaned his stuff. Yeah, good job. Say, like, look, you're not my mom, and you're not going to like control me and tell me what to do. Right. And this is the thing that I think pissed her off. Actually, the two things that pissed her off the most, when he said, any respectable, mature woman would understand that.
Yep.
And then he said, stay in your lane. I was like, look at Alex.
Oh, yeah.
And she is probably not used to anybody talking to her that way.
When he brought that, he was holding that one like, okay, I think it's time. Yeah, I think it's about to come on. You're not a mature, respectable woman. Stay in your lane. Perfect. It's about to be kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played that perfectly, right? I thought it was great. And then, of course, we get to the next day, and before Alex moves out, Roxanne apologizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, you know what, last night, I just want to apologize for raising my voice and doing this, and it was out of character. No, it wasn't. And, you know, she just goes on and on about her apology, and he's like, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was going to give her the Midwest goodbye, where he's like, well...
It's funny because then she's waiting to hear an apology.
Exactly.
He's just like, yeah. Isn't there something you want to say? No.
No. No, no. And I'm glad he didn't apologize. You know, I hate the apology to her. I'm glad he didn't, because that was also a setup. Because yeah. She's trying to make it seem like he said something wrong. He's like, no, I still stand by exactly what I said. So, no, nothing on my end. I'm good. All right. Well, let me go finish packing.
Exactly. All right. Deuces.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you know, I'm making a point not to talk to Mike's. Good. Perfect. I don't want to talk to you anymore anyway. He played that perfectly with her. Ryan and Trey.
They're on the same page about the pictures and the photo album. And she's like, I'm just going to leave it up. And he's like, yeah, you can if you want. I don't care. I'm sure James isn't going to like that too much. And then she bought the little gloves because they never really had a fight. I thought it was funny.
I thought that was a cute gift.
I thought that was cute.
You're right.
You know,
that was a cute gift.
And then when Trey asked if there was a chance they could hang after the experience is over, I thought that was his last effort of shooting his shot. Because yes. I really think if Ryan would be like, Trey, I'm feeling something for you and I really want to pursue this.
Yes.
Then Raya would be getting dumped.
Yes.
And Trey would be moving on. But Trey's like, I'm not going to give up a sure thing unless I know for sure that you feeling me like this, because I'm feeling you some kind of way, right?
Yep.
So I think that was his last shoot your shot, and she handled it well. She's like, well, it all depends how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who can tell?
Yeah, she kind of brushed him off in that, but yeah, he did the Steph Curry. Shoot. Something's got to drop. And then with Raya and James, anything on them? Because I think when Raya asked James what him and Trey talked about, he pivoted and then immediately turned the question on her, like, well, what did you and Ryan talk about, right? So he still didn't want to answer anything. I think that's why there's really not a whole lot on them.
No, I mean, pretty much it's just she called him out for not really being into the experience. He tried to apologize and he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. He's just I agree with her, though. It was unfair that he shut down once they moved in. Because like, she's like, yeah, we had good conversation before. But you know what? Here's the thing I think that she got fooled by. They had good conversation when it was about him. If you go back and you look, he never really asked about her. He didn't give two shits about her. And I think
that's a good call out. Yeah, when he's able to talk about his stuff and his demons and his feels, he's good. But yeah, so nothing much on him.
So we get to the changeover. The only couple walking in, the first couple that they talk about, the only couple walking in, touching, you notice, Ryan and Trey.
Yeah. They had a great time.
Mad as hell.
Yeah. Ryan and Trey had a good time. Everyone else, it was just they couldn't wait to be done and switch back to their old partner. And as they're talking, I think it starts out with Ryan and about their experience and how they got along and all this positive stuff. And they keep looking at Raya, and you can tell she's so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And then Trey boldly goes where no man's gone before and just said, hey.
And no man's supposed to go.
I've actually have feelings for this person. And you can see her foot you see it under the chair. Foot was shaking.
Yeah, that foot wasn't shaking. It was digging a hole.
She was about to pull a Lisa. If she had some shots in her, she'd have been pulling a Lisa.
Yes, she would. Because, she was done. And then, on top of that, Ryan says she thinks marriage with Trey would be fun. Like, wait a minute. Uh, I, I thought she was about to pop her lid. Now, you know, that couldn't have been Lisa. Lisa, who is a VP, by the way? I just want to point that out.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a VP of clinical services. And, oh, didn't act like it, but yes.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to do some more research on her. I didn't know.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is James is also not happy about hearing any of this, right? But
right.
It says it doesn't make him mad because he wants what's best for Ryan. Now, here's the thing I like, right? He says when he saw her talking to the other guys, when everybody first started dating, he realized she's the love of his life and that she could pull any guy there. And I like that Vanessa did not allow him to pull right. that BS on everybody. She did not let him off easy at all. Yeah. I like that.
So y'all been together 7 years, and then in the moment we have the choice, now you realize she's the love of your life?
Exactly.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Yeah. So James is, he has his problems, but mm-hmm. I'm glad that, you know, Vanessa didn't let him off the hook from any of that. I didn't really care for her little cry moment and how to make it about her.
Yeah.
At some point, but she does every Love is Blind and yes. this ultimatum. The ultimatum. Yeah. Some point she's going to get on a soapbox, make it about her and get some fake tears. So whatever.
How about who should have really been dropping some tears was Raya, because she said she felt it in her bones that Trey had feelings for Ryan, right? Like, it's almost like she was sitting there talking to James and all of a sudden, ooh, wait a minute. She had that tingle, right? But Trey says, look, I'm ready to see where this is about to go over the next 3 weeks. And she's like, not if you have feelings for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and... You know, it is what it is, I think, for Raya. She's going to have to just, this is some grow-up time and deal with it. I like how Trey handled himself, you know, with that whole bit. I mean, he was honest, but, you know, she can't be mad that he had feelings for Raya. I mean, for Ryan. She can't be mad about that.
She can't be mad that he talked, because he could have kept that to himself. But he told her. Now, he may have had a dual reason for telling her, but saying it out there in front of everybody, I'm going to put it out here. Ryan, just so you know, before I leave you.
You know? One more chance.
So that was actually his last shot. The interesting thing, you get to the other side of the couple, Ryan and James, right? And one of the things you see here is Ryan calls out James for his lack of physical connection. And I like what Trey did in that moment.
Yeah, because he called out James and said, hey, you ruined this for her.
Exactly.
Because of your stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So had you done it the right way, maybe she could have learned and got out of this whole experience what she needed to. And maybe you could have too, to help make you a better person for Ryan.
And he also said, you made it difficult for her. And now you're going to make it difficult for me for the next 3 weeks. Knuckle up. No, okay. So he didn't get to the last part, but you know, now the thing about this, James apologizes, and this is, of course, when Vanessa goes through her breakdown. But the apology, was it real? Or is it just... Because it, to me, it came off as fake.
No, I don't think it's real at all. I just think that's just how James deals with that stuff. He got called out. He doesn't like to be called out. Mm-hmm. So he just said what he had to say to get the pressure off of him.
I know you don't like that Vanessa broke out the tears and... got emotional and let them flow. But did you like what she said? Because if you notice, no, Jesus.
No, because she did all that for her. It's not, that wasn't for them and to help them. That was her moment to get her shine.
Think about it. Ryan has said earlier that throughout their relationship, her and James have never had that emotional connection, right? And James has even admitted, oh no, I haven't opened up. So what she says is, when you find the woman you can fully open up to, you'll know that you've found the one. Basically what she's saying, dude, it's been 7 years. This is not the woman, and you need to tell her, let her go, because this is not the woman for you, and you don't want her.
Yeah, and she should also look at Ryan and be like, girl, why? I mean, because honestly, you let a man do whatever he wants to do, he's going to keep doing it. So Ryan has allowed James to be this way. Yes. Allowed him not to be emotional, allowed him not to meet all the needs that she wanted for 7 years. And yeah. I'll say for 4 years, because the first 3 years, she's young.
Yeah.
16 to 19. So at least just say 19 to 23, 24. Yeah. She's allowed this stuff to happen. And so at that point, I'm like, girl, that's on you. Grow up.
Good point. Kat and Antonio, because Kat calls out Antonio for not being fully committed to the process. Again, this sounds like the Ryan and James. And, you know, then the Battle Royale, the tag team title is up for grabs. And these two couples are going at it.
I wouldn't say the couples are going at it. I just think it's Roxanne and Antonio making asses of themselves. Because Kat and Alex weren't really playing that game. They're just like, okay, whatever, you know.
Alex is too cool. I love it, man.
No, Alex is just like, yeah, all right. And so when, you know, here's where Antonio messed up. He said, Alex, you're the kind of guy that is my deepest insecurity. Mm-hmm. Well, if you told me that at their age, I'm like, I got you.
Yes.
I will always have you at that point. I got you. So don't ever come at me. Because be like, I'm a better man than you. You said it.
Yeah. I'm going to use your words. But here's the thing that irked me about this entire thing. As Roxanne and Antonio are attacking Alex, and I do like that Kat kept trying to stand up for him, right? Even though Alex is like, I got this. I got this, babe. They're not. Where was everybody else? Because even though she didn't say the word, you know, that she didn't say that she didn't have respect for Antonio, she proved that in front of all the other women.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the, not my party.
And just maybe they edited it out. Maybe they're saving that for the reunion. Mm-hmm. But I agree that other people should have stepped up and said something. Because when they had the guys' night out, Trey jumped in and said, well, actually, when I was on my date with Roxanne, here's what she said she was looking for. You know, but in this at the swap back or before the swap back, none of that really came out.
Right.
You know, and so she's trying to go, well, I never said I didn't respect him. I respect him like a mother. No, you don't. Because if you respected him like an MF, you wouldn't say all the things you said about him on this show.
Yeah.
She has talked bad about this dude.
She has dogged him.
Yeah. And so I'm like, you can't tell me you respect him that hardcore when you don't. And I love how Alex, when Antonio was trying to throw out a little bit of lifeline and say, hey, you know, this is why I got really bothered by what you said and And I like how Alex took a sip of his drink. He said, yeah, but I think I'd do it again though.
Yo,
so what, I'm totally saying it all again. I mean, the fact that it triggered you this much means it had to be said.
Yes.
And so I don't see anything wrong with what I said.
I love it for him on that one. You know, as we're rounding out episode 6, they get to the second trial marriages, as they call it. And our first couple up, we know they're going to have, because everybody else was so happy to be around each other, hugging and kissing. These two walking off like, and Trey tells Raya that his goal is still to marry her. And then she immediately turns on her inner Lisa.
Yeah, because she's still in her feelings. I mean, this is just that immaturity that she has. And this is why I'm like screaming, Trey, leave. Like, you need to leave and you need to move on. Just the way she was acting, all pouty and all that. I mean, if you want to talk, let's talk. But you can't act like that. That's just...
I'm glad you got to get the full experience. What happened? Did she turn you down?
Right. Right. All that attitude? No. Yeah. I couldn't deal with that.
But did you understand that when she says that him saying that he had feelings for Ryan, he lost her, and she doesn't know if they can recover.
No. He lost her when he gave her the ultimatum. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were making out, they were doing all this other stuff, sleeping together.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like any of that happened. Mm-mm. He just had feelings like he enjoyed spending time with somebody he just clicked with. And it was easy for only 3 weeks. They've been together 2 years. He lost her when he gave her the ultimatum. That's not the thing that ruined their relationship.
Facts. No, absolutely right. And we're going to get more of what happens because now the 3 weeks come and we get those next 3 weeks in the episode 7 and 8, which drops tomorrow. And yeah, you know, how you feeling about it so far?
I'm getting close to the point I want to get it over with. Let's get to Wednesday so I can watch the end of it so we can speed through it.
And like I said, we'll go live for that either Thursday or Friday. We'll determine that really soon. So make sure you like this video, subscribe to this channel, and then hit the bell for notifications so you can know when we drop the episodes and also when we go live.
Yep.
I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, be sure to send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.